Ben Fred Fridays. We do this every Friday on Scoops with Danny Mac, and sports back in full swing. And this is always brought to you by Henderson and Watercutty, couple of guys helping out folks in St. Louis and in Missouri, Illinois. See what they offer at stlcriminaldefense.com. stlcriminaldefense.com. We always visit with Ben Fredrickson of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Baseball back, hockey back, NBA, some news with the SEC. We're going to jump into all that, but let's start with baseball, Ben. It was just a week ago. It was opening night, and a lot has happened since then, both on and off the field. Generally speaking, a week into the books, right now with Major League Baseball and the Cardinals, your thoughts on what's happening with the Major League Baseball season? And by the way, good to talk to you.
You too, man. We can go big picture here, or we can zoom in on the Cardinals, and there's probably plenty of interest in both. Probably makes sense to start with baseball at large. I think we're seeing right now, and I don't know that we have a direct answer yet, but how challenging this could be. Everything is going to hinge on how baseball kind of picks itself up and dusts itself off after this Marlins outbreak. I think they did the right thing by really shutting the Marlins down and trying to get their arms around how bad the issue is there. And we're starting to see now, some more caution with the Phillies as they've had some positive tests and a postponement of their games as well. So they've got to get their arms around this. I think best case scenario is this has to be a very clear wake-up call to the rest of the teams, where if they're not going to be incredibly diligent about this, then, the chance of this working is going to be pretty slim. Baseball opted to go non-bubble route, and that's going to be more complicated. But if guys are really not, really stressing the protocols with themselves and kind of self-enforcing, I think it's going to be maybe, out of control when it comes to the schedule. If you have to basically press pause when you're trying to get a feel for, how bad a team is affected, then it's going to scramble the schedule pretty quick. I guess the good news is, depending on how severe this gets with the Phillies, you could say, well, there's not a lot of signs of the Marlins spreading it. But what we don't know, and this is for everybody, not just baseball, Dan, is this incubation period stuff. We don't know how quickly it can spread or how far it can reach before a positive test, picks it up. A guy can test negative one day, becomes, a virus carrier the next and is potentially contagious. And then there's a day that goes by before he gets his next test. So initially I think we thought, hey, if they can keep the virus out, then really maybe the stuff on the field or, in the clubhouse isn't as important. But I think what we're finding out is, hey, they've got to, really minimize contact as much as possible, even when they're inside the baseball bubble, if you will, because if the thing gets in and spreads, then all of a sudden you're going to have a situation like the Marlins where you've got close to 20 guys between coaches and players who are testing positive. So it doesn't have to be a doomsday scenario, but it does have to get better. And it seems like baseball is making some changes on the fly to try to, reinforce the seriousness of this, including everything from basically what I guess is going to be like a hall monitor, for each team, someone who's kind of in place to make sure things are being followed. So hopefully that works, but it's a setback that baseball is going to have to get better from, or else they're going to be in trouble here.
What did you think of what the Cardinals did on the field? They go into a day game this afternoon with Milwaukee. They are thus far 2-3. The offense has been hit and miss. The pitching, relief pitching especially, very good. What have you thought of the Cardinals?
I think you could probably go back to the 2019 season and pick out some comment that I had about the team then and replay it, because I feel like the past three games have been similar to kind of the same ups and downs that we talked about a lot last season. The pitching is saying that has to be very good. The defense is going to have to be very good. And if that happens, then the Cardinals will have a chance if they're not producing runs. But, really, the first two games, I think people were excited because there were runs, five and then nine runs against the Pirates. You saw maybe a deeper lineup that was churning a little bit, and then that's kind of disappeared in these next three games. It started with the series finale in Pittsburgh and then against Minnesota. And, I think that Minnesota Twins team is really good. I mean, the lineup, I picked them to win the World Series in our Post-Dispatch predictions. The lineup is loaded and deep. but the lineup doesn't have much to do with why the Cardinals couldn't, you know, generate much traction offensively. So I think you're going to see a lot of frustration about that. And you just have to ask your starting pitching to be so good against a really good lineup to make, you know, to find a win in there. And I thought Carlos Martinez, I didn't think he looked, you know, he looks like kind of what we've seen in past seasons where he struggled to be a starter. I thought Daniel Ponce de Leon had a better start, although they were similar by the time they were done in terms of results than Carlos. And then both were the losers of those games. But I thought Daniel Ponce de Leon was a better against a really tough lineup. Although I'm still wondering, Dan, why you know we haven't seen a shot for Kim to start, and we'll see how this plays out. But I watched Kim shut down that Twins lineup at spring training. I know it's spring training, but if we're going to spin the rotation here and try to find somebody who could start, I'd like to see him get a shot. But none of it's really going to matter if the offense is averaging, you know, four runs over its last three games.
What do you do with the offense? And people are looking at Lane Thomas, they're looking at Bader. You talk about Carpenter, who did have a couple of hits the other night as a DH and then did not start the following night against Rich Hill. But what do you do about an offense that was the biggest question mark going into the season anyway?
Well, it's a fair question, and I think what you have to try to do is find some more production from the outfield, because that is the bottom of the order. I mean, this is the only lineup in baseball that has its three outfielders batting last. I think you try to find some more playing time for Lane Thomas, and I think you get serious about bringing Dylan Carlson up and seeing what he can do. I had people yelling at me on Twitter, but you know, it's one thing to say, I think everybody wants to see Dylan Carlson, and they should. He should be a very good player. But if folks are expecting Dylan Carlson to be the reason this team turns the light on offensively, I think they're asking quite a lot from a guy who's never played in a major league inning right now. A spark is great. A spark also has to lead to something that's not that's combustible. And right now the offense has more problems than missing Dylan Carlson. If Paul DeJong and Paul Goldschmidt and Tommy Edman and Colton Wong aren't getting things going, then it really doesn't matter who's in the outfield. The bulk of this team is going to come down to production from the hitters who are in the infield. Now, you do have to try to prod the offense to get more production there. So I'm all for more starts for Lane Thomas. I am all for calling up Dylan Carlson ASAP and getting him in there. But if the top and the meat of the order aren't producing, then I don't think your outfield is going to carry this team no matter who's in it. So any day now, I mean, Carlson's through that five-game window, so they can bring him up now without without giving him that year of service time. So that's no longer a problem. And you can see why the Cardinals have wanted to give more opportunity to a guy like Tyler O'Neill. I think he's been quietly the most pleasant surprise so far through five games. But we're starting to see now, it really is, Dan, kind of the worst-case problem for the Cardinals. They hope to be winning, so it would take pressure off their offense. They hope to be getting some offensive production, so it would take pressure off the Dylan Carlson situation. And instead, they've lost three in a row, four runs in those three games, and their outfield, you know, across the board has not produced like they hoped. So this is the situation we all kind of thought they could be in, and unfortunately, it's the one they're finding themselves in.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com. A full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
In terms of Carlson, where do you think it goes with him and how the Cardinals approach his situation?
I think you can play him in center field. And I would, you know, continue to give Tyler O'Neill, you know, reps in left. I feel like he's performing. And then you can talk about right field with Fowler and looking at, you know, getting him some time on the bench. Look, the outfield is unique in that it was the weakest part offensively of this team last year. And it came with, you know, extensive reps for Dexter Fowler and Harrison Bader. So if you're seeing things that are telling you that those guys are not automatically locked in and ready to roll, then I don't know that you can need to take, hey, it's a long season type of approach. A, it's not a long season. And B, you're going off of what you saw last season to some degree too. So I love Harrison Bader's defense as much as anybody. But if he's going to continue to watch fastballs that go down the middle of the plate and continue to be non-competitive against breaking pitches, then I think at some point the Cardinals have to get serious about sacrificing some defense for some hope of some offense. We saw Carlson play center field in summer camp quite a bit. To me, that was a test, and I think he passed. And we heard Mike Schilt say, hey, you know, if you're going to ask about Carlson, you got to ask John Mozeliak about that, which – to me, is not a that's not a hey, don't ask John Mozeliak about that answer. That's hey, I don't make that call, but I'm not going to tell you it's a bad idea kind of answer.
In terms of the pitching, though, that is what is going to separate them from other teams. And even in the game against Minnesota, game two, they fall behind, and even in game one, they fell behind by a lot, but yet their bullpen kept them in the game.
Yep,
you know, reasonably. Game two, certainly. And that's the thing that I hold in high regard with this team right now. I don't know if it can stay that way, but, man, their bullpen has been just lights out. Whitley, Helsley, you know, some of the mainstays that they've had, their bullpen pitching has been sensational.
Yeah, and it could get better too, right? I mean, with Cabrera, we still haven't, you know, had a chance to see, you know, what an Alex Reyes can be able to do. But you're absolutely right. I mean, that's going to be the strength, not just the top of the pitching, but the depth of the pitching. I mean, how many other teams have a guy like just a Cody Whitley just hanging out, you know, where he can come in and give you, you know, what, 2 2/3 inning and no one can score a run against him, you know, 3 strikeouts. I mean, that's pretty impressive. So look, they can be aggressive with their bullpen. And we saw them do that in that game. I mean, they kept that thing close. They were just waiting on the hit, and it never came. I think John Gant has been impressive as well, which is not surprising. You know, Austin Gomber, you can go on down the list. And look, I'll give Daniel Ponce de León more credit than some for that start against that Twins lineup. I thought he battled. He got some tough breaks that went his way in terms of the strike zone. But they've got the pitching, and they've got so much of it. But what they've got to do is figure out a way to get some better starts. I think that, to me, is their first building block. They're in trouble when they don't get a quality start, because that's kind of how they're built to work. It takes pressure off the offense. It gives the offense time. It keeps them from feeling like they're playing from behind. And then they can pass it over to the bullpen. But if they're giving up runs in the first, second, third innings before they can get to the bullpen and start passing the baton, then it kind of feels like this offense is under pressure. It kind of feels like that series we saw in Washington, you know, the NLCS, where – it's like if you don't have a lead, or if you don't have a tie game or a close game, then it's almost as if the offense kind of starts to shut down, and they've got to avoid that happening.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.
In terms of the Blues, they were back in action the other night. They lose 4-0. It did look like an exhibition game. It was, but man, it had the look of it, didn't it?
It did, yeah. Maybe some heavy legs out there, maybe some guys, dare to say, who are remembering what it's like to have to be in game shape. I'm not pressing the panic button whatsoever. Look, the Blues know what they have to do, and they know what they have to get there. I think this is a playoff where we're going to see teams get better as the playoff goes along, but you better be good enough to be able to keep playing. So I think more than anything, that was going to be a wake-up call, and it was. Clearly, Craig Berube, I'm sure, is making them hear about that as they get ready to move forward here. But you know, I'm not ready to go nuts, but yeah, if they play like that, they're going to be in trouble, but they've got to get in game shape. And I think it was Petro who said, and I agree with him, it's hard to know how close you are to game shape without some sort of a game. And, well, now they know. So no more excuses moving forward, right?
Absolutely. And it's going to be interesting, you know, with all these games, basically starting at 11 in the morning, finishing around 11:30 midnight, the condition of the ice and how players stay fresh with those legs. If you can only really go to your hotel room and hang inside the bubble. They're going to have some events for him, golfing outings and that kind of thing, but it's different. I mean, there's no other way to put it. It's way different how guys stay somewhat fresh as they go along if you make a long run in that bubble. I do find it fascinating how guys try to stay, you know, somewhat fresh and in shape to go for the long haul of 3 months of being in that bubble.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is going to come down to mental strength and conditioning, right? I mean, it's going to be very easy to get bored, to get kind of just, I mean, I don't even know what to, just out of place and to kind of get unfocused. I mean, we've all been, you know, somewhere where, you know, if you have multiple days where it's rainy or something, you can't go anywhere and you just kind of get into that funk where you have to be in your house all the time. I think we've all felt that over the course of this pandemic at different times. But, you know, it's one thing to feel that and then have to go to work from home. It's another thing to feel that and have to go out and play a playoff hockey game at high levels. So they've got to find a way to lock in. They've got to find a way to keep their mind relaxed, but also stimulated. You know, whether they're reading books or doing crossword puzzles or who knows what, but also find a way to kind of find some relaxation that's more than just sitting around. I mean, that's the thing about doing all this kind of in the bubble stuff is, in some ways, doing nothing can kind of be exhausting. So they better find some ways to stay active, to stay, you know, loose, but also kind of free their mind a little bit, because teams that only sit around or only invest and care about the hockey being played, I think are going to probably burn themselves out as much mentally as they will physically. So that's a challenge of this.
SEC has said they're going to play inside their own conference 10 games only. What's your initial reaction to that?
We knew that was going to happen. I mean, ever since the Big Ten came out and said that, it's really just been a matter of time until every Power Five conference agreed. Now, what this does is I think it, in some ways, it's smart. It gives the conference more power to, you know, make alterations or schedule changes if needed. It doesn't, you know, leave anything up to chance because, you know, everybody's on the same team when it comes to the conference. So if you have to swap games or reschedule things, that's good. It gives you two kind of empty weeks where you can shift things around if there's a virus cause incident. So it's still optimistic and, you know, it's still kind of a fingers crossed plan, but it's a better plan than pretending that there weren't going to need to be some changes. So unfortunately, this is the system that college football has, Dan. I mean, there's no real leadership or authority from the NCAA on college football. So these conferences are left to take care of themselves. And when push comes to shove, that's what they do. They circle their wagons around their members and they leave everybody else to fend for themselves. What's unfortunate, of course, is going to be the smaller programs, the ones that are outside of the Power Five, that are getting, you know, going to miss opportunities to play those games. I don't know how some of these contracts will be worked out. Most of them have pretty significant payouts if you have to cancel these games, but probably some of them have clauses that deal with things like a pandemic. So ultimately, what it will probably end up being is a lot of schools that are outside of these power conferences lose those payday games, which, you know, those things can go toward funding a lot of things, whether it's, you know, whether it's scholarships or jobs or, you know, facilities, and those schools need those games. So I'm disappointed just because that's going to be a downside of this, but I understand why these Power Five schools are doing it.
Ben, as always, fun to visit with you. Should be an interesting week as we catch up again next Friday, and I always appreciate your time. Thanks, man.
You bet, brother. Have a good week.
Henderson and Watercutty, a proud sponsor of ScoopsWithDannyMac.com, a full-service criminal defense firm dedicated to helping individuals fight criminal charges in Missouri and Illinois. State, federal, municipal courts, think Henderson, Watercutty. Protecting your rights, defending your freedom. Number to call, 314-645-4400. 4400 314-645-4400. Visit their website, stlcriminaldefense.com.